This week on Midwest Week, a look back at the big one, the flood of 1993. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Barb Ikus, reporter and columnist for the Quad City Times. So remind us, Barb, exactly how high was the Mississippi during
the big one?
Yeah, the big one.
It was 7.5 feet over flood stage, and in our pool, flood stage is 15 feet, so we got up to 22.63 feet. In fact, Governor Branstad called it the worst disaster in Iowa history.
That's amazing. Do any recent floods even come close to that? Have we come anywhere near that record?
Well, it depends on your idea of near, but about almost half of the top 10 floods of all time on the Mississippi River here have occurred this century. The second one, the 93, of course, was the highest, and then 1965, which led to some changes around here. After that, it was 01. And we hit 22.33 feet, so that was a big one, too. But then in 2008, we had two floods that are in the top 10. So it's been a floody century.
Yeah. Now, the various people you talked to for your recent big story in the Times, what do they say caused that record breaker? Do we have any sort of definite cause for that year?
Well, it's the cliche about the perfect storm. It was the rainiest June on record. Still is. 93 was the rainiest June we've ever had. It just pounded us. So, and this happened, you know, throughout the month. So we had this super saturated ground that couldn't possibly absorb any more rainwater or the water coming from up north. We had a really heavy flow from out of the north. So the combination of constant record-setting rain, the heavy flow from the north and the saturated ground was sort of the triple whammy.
Mm-hmm. And how has flood fighting, especially in Davenport, changed since 1993?
Well, the thing I point to the most, because it's the most obvious and probably the most impactful, is the HESCO barrier. Mm-hmm. The HESCO barriers are those military fortification things. They look like cages, and those are filled with sand, and they create a flood wall, and they're covered with sheets of plastic or whatever to create this barrier that used to require tens of thousands of sandbags. The manpower that went into 1993 was staggering. I mean, we looked back at the Times produced a book after the 93 flood, but also just our photos from 93. That was the summer of sandbagging. I mean, everybody was doing it. Thousands of people at the Mark of the Quad Cities, which was new at that time. But anyway, we've also had flood walls and levees built. One really cool change, speaking of the Mark, now the Tax Layer Center, was that the building director at the time, John Watts, took dirt from the rodeo show that was at the Mark a couple of 6 or 8 months after the flood. He hauled all that dirt out of the arena and built an earthen berm along the entire riverside of the Civic Center. So that change has protected one of the Illinois Quad Cities' largest and most expensive assets.
That's right. And aren't there, I think you quoted Steve Ahrens as saying there's fewer buildings along the riverfront now and more parkland?
Right. More parkland. Look at, you know, Marquette Street. With when that was developed, it was with floods in mind. Also, people think of the levee in Rock Island as being a product of the 93 blood flood, but actually that one followed the 65 flood, so it was already in place. It's grown, of course, with the addition of Schwiebert Park. Also changes, the Garden Addition, which was really heavily hit during the 93 flood. There have been dozens and dozens of homes bought out by FEMA and demolished that were in the floodway. Those efforts actually started 3 years prior because there was a big flood in 1990 as well. It didn't make the top 10, but it was big enough to do some damage in the Garden Addition. So that neighborhood in West Davenport has really changed since 93.
Yeah, and another big change, I mean, amongst all these other big changes, is in modern Woodman Park.
Yeah, that's a huge change. It was, of course, John O'Donnell at the time, and really the ballpark was our flood icon. You know, everybody who came to town, all the national media and everything, used images of John O'Donnell because it was just such a dramatic image. There was in several of our pictures, all you can see is the pitching mound, and there's a John Deere gator sitting on it. Once they got it out there, they couldn't get it back. So, you know, the entire ball field was filled with water except for the little bit of a mound sticking up. But there was that $14 million or so renovation at now Modern Woodman was done in 04, and that included $2 million plus in flood protection. That big earthen berm out in the outfield, which also doubles the seating now, but pretty cool seating. But there's also a removable flood wall that surrounds modern Woodman now. That's 800 feet long. It's made out of stackable aluminum panels, and that goes up when the water goes up to deliver people safely to and from the ballpark and out of the water.
Mm-hmm. And I've watched them put it up, too. It only takes a few hours.
Yeah, they've got it down now. Yeah. And then, of course, Iowa American Water, they put in, they spent $11 million on a permanent flood wall, close to $12 million. That thing's 2,000 feet long. You can't miss it. It runs along the bike path between the water plant and the river to protect Iowa American, where the flood stage is also 15 feet. And the thing about that wall, that huge wall, is flood stage right there, as I said, is 15 feet, but that wall will protect the water plant to over 31 feet.
Yeah, and that's
so
been,
that's another 10 feet, you know, nearly, or 9 feet above what we had in 93.
And in all the years of talking about putting up a flood wall in Davenport, you know, and them coming in with results saying, you know, it would be way too expensive for the benefit, that was sort of the one project that they figured would be worth doing, was the water plant.
Oh, right. Yeah, that one, there was no way they couldn't protect it. You know, I mean, people think of a flood wall on the riverfront as optional and the arguments about the view versus the expense and all
right.
that, but at the water plant, there really wasn't that choice.
Yeah, and remember, I can't remember what year it was, somewhere around 93 maybe, when a water plant in Des Moines was knocked out by a flood, one of those years.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I have a memory of O'Donnell Stadium, I think it was 93, coming across the Centennial Bridge. And the stadium was completely surrounded by water. The stadium was still dry, though, and they had the sprinklers on.
And probably the lights.
Yeah, probably the lights. And it was maybe just a few hours later the next day when it was completely inundated.
Right. And I remember President Clinton up there in 1993 looking down from the Centennial Bridge at the entire riverfront. And that was, of course, the photo op, flooded Ball Diamond behind him. And.
Mm-hmm. Now, your big story mentioned something that I didn't realize, Barb, on, you know, having been here all this time, I still didn't remember it, that the Red Cross made changes following the 93 flood.
I didn't know about it either, Herb, until Al McGall's reporting. But, yeah, there's an acronym for it, FMA, the Family Maintenance Allowance. Is that what you're talking about?
Right, yeah.
And that was the first time, now it's a federal program, but it was thought up by people at the Quad City Red Cross chapter. And what it did was gave families, homeowners, money for rent for a hotel rather than a shelter, because a lot of people were reluctant to leave their homes. They didn't want to go to shelters for various reasons, partly the discomfort of a cot. So the Quad Cities became the first place to use that federal money for hotel rent. And also, there were mental health services for the first time. And the reason for that was, you know, this flood of 93, the crest was sustained for so long that the damage was really dramatic. A lot of people, you know, their every possession they had was on a curb. And so for the first time, federal money through the Red Cross was able to administer mental health services for people really grieving their losses.
Now, have you heard much from readers following your big story about the flood, Barb?
I have personally heard from probably a dozen people who wanted to share their own memories. Things about a guy up in Port Byron who was talking about the snakes in his garage. the things you remember. And people who had been sandbagging at the Mark, they gave away Bon Jovi tickets for sandbag volunteers. And a lot of people remembered that because so many showed up. I think there were like 3,000 people. So they were shoulder to shoulder sandbagging. And it was a good thing because really it saved the convention center that year.